Everybody, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here in downtown Chicago. And what you just heard there is Trick Shooter Social Club, a terrific band, and that's from their new album, American Experiment, which is available now. And I'd like to welcome back to the studio, well, first time in the new studios, Steve Simoncic and Larry Liss of Trick Shooter Social Club.
Thanks for having us,
welcome
man.
Back, guys.
Thank you.
How you
good
been?
To be back.
Yeah.
Doing great. Great to see you.
Very, very, very cool. So you got the new record. You excited about that?
It feels good. It feels good to be done. Yeah. We worked on it kind of in two shifts over the past probably 10 months,
yeah.
12 months. So, yeah, it feels great to be done. We were right down at CRC working, kind of doing it in the big room. So we did some live tracking with the whole band and then a lot of overdubs over the past few months.
Well, it sounds great, man.
Oh, thanks.
So we're going to hear a couple of full songs from the record. Let's just remind people about the band. How long you guys been around Trick Shooter Social Club? And
that's a good question. Wait, probably six, seven years
with this band. Yeah,
with this lineup for the most of it.
Right.
Steve and I have been writing together for 15 years. It's like common law marriage by now.
Yeah,
exactly.
Do you guys obviously you enjoy writing together?
Not at all.
No. I hate it. I can't stand it.
Just a fight every second of the
day. Well, this is a full-on album here. There's 12 songs on this thing. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
and that was the vision. We wanted to try and just do a full-up rock album, and you know, and that's what took a while too, because we really wanted to fuss it and really did a fair amount of overdubs. It was a real studio project. It wasn't just going there and slam through. So it was fun, and we did it sort of in waves, so as the music progressed, I mean, I think the album progressed.
So it was and I think it took a lot of time. I mean, the lyrics, I think, are some of the best that Steve's written, like, out of everything we've done, and I think there was a lot of craft put into telling the story,
which,
you know, it's right out in the open, and pretty no bones about it, which, you know, we sort of, you know, celebrate.
Can we talk about the cover?
Yeah,
because it's awesome. Let's talk about the cover. Tell everybody about what it looks like and who the photographer was and all that.
Yeah, so we have a good friend of the band, an artist named Camp Boyer. He's here in town. He does all of our visual stuff, does the t-shirts, does the album covers. And, you know, the album itself, you know, we were hoping to sort of try and capture a bit of the essence of the American experiment. And by that we mean, you know, the beauty, absurdity, the violence, the joy, the hope. And so, you know, taking a thing like Playland, which is like the quintessential American, you know, amusement park, but seeing it sort of decayed and what it became, it just said a lot. You know, it was just very, like, very powerful, potent image.
Yeah.
And we threw it inside the star. The star sort of, you know, kind of lends itself to the iconography of the flag, but also just that notion of, you know, the American desire to be a star of some sort.
Yeah. Well, it's a great cover, man. It's a really very, very striking cover. So the album is available now.
It is.
Yes. Okay. Let's talk about the origin again. You know, we've mentioned this before. You said that you guys have been writing together for about 15 years now. How did you guys meet? How did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, we started out in another band, and, you know, as you know, it sort of ran its course, and I think the one thing that we both found was that we were really good at writing songs together. We were definitely prolific and just enjoyed, you know, the partnership of creating music, and that was what we found sort of interesting in each other. The first time we sort of went and started writing together, we found a basement in Lakeview that
said was a studio, but it was his basement.
It was a basement.
He was making tacos with his girlfriend upstairs. Yeah. I'm like,
it's not really a garden apartment. It's a basement.
Clearly,
stick these guys in the basement.
Yeah. Clearly, like, when those two fought, that was where he was, where he went. And the first night we went in there and wrote some songs, it was reeked of burnt tacos and just, you know, permeated the walls, which I'm pretty sure were shag carpeting.
Yeah.
But you know, the one thing that came out of it is we walked out of there with like songs like on the move.
Yeah.
Like, and I think from that moment on, we kind of knew this is something we're gonna chase.
Yeah.
And then we just started putting songs together, and then it was more like, all right, now what? And so we found people to play.
That's cool. All right. Well, so let's start with you, Steve. What other bands have you? How many bands have you been in before you met?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I've been in a band or some sort of project since like sophomore year of high school.
Wow.
So in and out. It's so funny. And actually, my old high school band, the guys are all over the country now, but we've started to get together like once a year to like
come to jam.
They come to Chicago and we'll record. You know,
and so
we'll
do
a song or two a year kind of thing just for fun. But probably a dozen projects over the years.
And you guys met while you were each in a different band?
We were introduced by someone in a band that I was in,
and
they brought Steve by, and just started making some music together.
And we'll go even further back, Steve. When did you start getting into music as a kid?
Obviously,
you said sophomore in high school. So.
Yeah, I was probably like 10, 12, started taking guitar lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in Detroit, and my dad, great blue-collar guy, so he'd take me to the guitar lessons. He'd go next door to the towny bar and have a couple beers. So he liked taking me to guitar lessons.
Yeah, he did.
I'd do that, and that kind of got me into it. And then it was like the joy of creation. I've always kind of been a writer at heart, so... coming up in high school, we were in cover bands and, you do all those things you do. But what I really got into it was being able to write and create something.
Yeah.
And that's been the kind of the joy of this band. And Larry and I, what we described in that guy's basement, 10 years ago, earlier tonight, we were at Fort Knox doing the same thing. I mean, we still, bring bits and parts and how's this sound? Try that. Okay, I got a thing for that. We're able to kind of shape together, so that's probably the juice of it.
That's cool.
More than anything.
That's cool. And when did you come back? Did you go from Detroit to here?
Yeah.
Yeah, and how long you been here?
I've been here forever. I came out in the early 90s.
Oh, okay. So you've been here.
I'm pretty native at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That makes you a Chicagoan at this point.
Yeah, I've earned my stripes.
Yeah, yeah. And Larry, what about you? When did you get into music? Remind us all.
I was early on, I was into rock. Kiss was my Kiss Alive first album,
Yep.
For those who remember Record City, I went over there in $487, I think, a double album cost back then.
I remember when Kiss Alive 2 came out.
Yes.
There was a line at the record store of people around my age, and I was about 12 when that record came out, 12 or 13. And, that's the prime age to be a Kiss fan.
I mean, totally.
Once you hit your 20s, you go, what the hell was I, a Kiss fan?
Yeah.
But when you're like 11 or 12, they're the coolest band in the world.
Yeah, that was kind of the height of that band for me. I mean, they made a lot of good stuff, but that was the height of it.
Yeah.
Kiss Alive 2.
Waiting for Kiss Alive 2. We were outside the record store, and I still can't remember the name of the record store. It's the one located on Lincoln Avenue, almost directly across from Dinkle's Bakery. And it's now a Starbucks.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Starbucks now, but it used to be that record store. And we were all waiting outside for Kiss Alive 2, and we got
great.
The first copies. So Kiss Alive, you were into rock at a young age, yeah?
And then, I was definitely into, all that. And but then it took a U-turn, as I've confessed on the show before. I was a house music DJ.
Yes.
When house music,
your DJ name?
DJ Larry Lair.
Yeah,
yes, thank you very much.
Yeah.
There's the T-shirt.
This is...
Okay, so you did a little house mixing.
So I did, yeah. I DJed a lot of, in my high school years, I was DJing at clubs with, chasing around the, I think WBMX was like the big hot mix station.
Yeah.
And then I found my way home, like in college, like I found, I was in a house and... or a dorm, sorry, and I saw a guitar and then just picked it up and started playing, bar chord rock.
Right, and that's what you've been doing ever since.
Yep, I've been stealing from Tom Petty's and Mike Ness for years now.
Wow, yeah, all right. Well, that's cool. So that was the beginning, and you guys have, you got six other members in the band, is that correct?
Yeah, our full complement is eight total, so
yeah.
there's a fiddle, there's an accordion, a couple guitars, bass, drums, keys. It's cool. It's a cool sound. There's a lot going on, and live it's fun too, because we really, and as we write, even for the album, we really thought, like, how can we give everybody moments? That was really important to
right.
us. So we think about it as community. So like over the course of the album, I feel like everybody has their chance to kind of be themselves and get heard a little bit too.
Very cool.
Nice.
Yeah. How long has this lineup been together?
Pretty consistent. This has been a while.
Yeah, but at least
three years of this lineup, which we like a lot. It's we like the gang a lot.
It sounds like it. I mean, you know, that's a big group to stay together for a long time. I mean, eight people in a band, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
It's not Earth, Wind, and Fire big, but it's pretty big.
Yeah, Steve was pretty matter-of-fact about how we tried to find moments for everybody. That was a lot of 3 in the morning mix sessions trying to figure out where parts go and who does what when. And
yeah. How did you recruit the people that are in the band? Did you know them? Or?
Super organically. Like the oddly enough, Craigslist actually hooked us up a couple more times than you think.
I've heard that. No, listen, I've heard that from musicians in this studio many times, that Craigslist, you know.
And you know, it worked. So, like, James, our bass player, was the first guy to kind of join. He's been there ever since. He's great, awesome, just rock solid. And then, yeah, it was you know, we did a little bit of musician stalking of, like, wow, we're interested in that person.
Yeah.
But it was pretty organic for the most part how people kind of hopped on.
Musician stalking.
I will say we got with the, we've lucked out with the Craigslist thing. We found, you know, both Chris's, Chris Ellison and Chris Bartley, drums and keys. And they, you know, when you get on the phone with people on Craigslist, that could go any number of ways.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know?
That's true. But it turned out great.
It did.
We got a break, guys. Okay, we got the news coming up, and then we're going to talk more with Steve and Larry from Trick Shooter Social Club. Their new album is called American Experiment. They had a gig just recently at Lincoln Hall, and we're going to talk about that and more. And we'll hear a couple of songs from the album. All right, everybody hang out for a second, and the news is up in just a few seconds. Everybody. All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Friday morning, everybody. That means all the regular Friday features are coming up. Fly James Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies. And we will, on our way next week, we will crown the dummy of the year, the biggest dummy of 2018. And so we have You Big Dummy coming up. And we're going to talk about sounds that kids probably never have heard before. And I got some recipes for some comfort food that's actually nutritionist approved. So that's all coming up on the show. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And your Fly Jams requests later on. DJ Shagru will play them. Right now, though, that music that you heard was from Trick Shooter Social Club. Their latest record is called American Experiment. It's available now. And Steve and Larry are here from Trick Shooter Social Club. Welcome back, guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You know, every time you guys have come on the show, you brought me a T-shirt.
What we do.
And I'm wearing one of your T-shirts in honor. I knew you guys were going to be coming.
We appreciate that.
And this is the Buffalo one. That was actually inspired by the Ted Nugent story that I told.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Indeed.
I feel fantastic that it inspired a T-shirt.
It's forever memorialized in the T-shirt.
Yeah. You didn't expect a Buffalo.
No one expected a Buffalo.
Nobody expected a Buffalo with the House of Blues. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back, guys. Tell us about that song that we just heard. It's called If I Could.
Yeah, you know, this is a good example. So, you know, Larry had the riff for that, and he's like, I got this juke joint kind of riff, and he'd bring it into rehearsal, and we kept running it and running it and running it. And then, you know, it was always kind of getting somewhere, but it needed something more. And then at one point, we clicked into that breakdown. And one of the things we had talked about is trying to make this album a little more groove-based and kind of open things up a little bit, open the arrangements up a little bit. And then it really took flight when we had that little Jane's Addiction build at the end, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and then overall, I think one of the things we really wanted to do with this album is be aware of, you know, sonic possibilities, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Again, we've talked about this before. I always look to Neil Young for a lot of inspiration. And
bless him.
Right? Like, and if you ever heard, one of my favorite live albums is Arc Weld.
My God. Yeah.
It's one of my...
There's two albums. There's one is just all feedback.
It's exactly
one
right.
One of the records is just all feedback, man.
Exactly. In between every song, there's no talking. It's just weird, crazy sounds.
Yes.
And so, again, pulling from a lot of our references, we wanted to create just textures, like sonic textures behind a lot of these songs. And If I Could was a really good example of how we wanted to play in the studio a little bit more with sounds and pedals and... weird. Our violinist has a bunch of pedal board. It's actually bigger than mine, and he was
Right?
Yeah.
It's cool. He comes not so much from like an Appalachian idiom. He's a Berklee College of Music person. He plays world music. He plays everything. So he takes a really interesting approach to fiddle, and yeah, like he... You know, in terms of just like sonic noise and interesting stuff, he's really opened that up. And this song was kind of the first song that really clicked in for us. Like, we can do that. It'll be cool.
Now, because you guys were sort of experimenting in the studio and layering stuff like that, do the songs sound different? They must sound a little different live, right? I mean, stripped down a little bit more?
Yeah, it helps having a group of eight so we can cover a lot of parts. And it's funny that the pedal gardens have grown a little bit over the past, you know, year. So we try to get really close, but there are certain things, you're right, with overdubs and certain things we built in the studio you're just not going to do live.
Yeah.
But I think the essence of them hang in there pretty well.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's nice, you know, like when you know, bands release sort of like really beautifully produced and layered records, it's kind of nice to hear it live. It's kind of different and it's stripped down. You know, it's like it's a different kind of beast. It's a different animal entirely, and they're both cool.
Well, we did a couple of shows in New York last year, and our keyboard player couldn't make the trip. And he's great. He's an awesome musician, does a lot, brings a lot, fills out the sound a lot. But it was kind of cool. Like, we actually had a great time stripping it down, and we just went kind of heavier, faster, louder, and it was really fun to that point, like to kind of reinvent them a little bit. And it was kind of a cool experiment, you know, it kind of worked.
Yeah, very, very cool. All right, let's talk about the gig. Had you guys ever played Lincoln Hall before?
We have a couple times.
Yeah, a couple times. And
it's one of the best rooms in the city.
It's the best.
Hands down.
It's the acoustics in that place, the way whoever, you know, when they designed it right.
Just, I mean,
it's
totally.
Yeah. So how was it? Was it a record release party?
It was. That was the first night we played. And a lot of these songs were debuts for us. So it was a really cool night. That it was a full, pretty much full house, you know, up downstairs. And it's got a great balcony.
It does.
You know, akin to Metro, but I mean, it was nice, like looking up and seeing it full, and the sound on stage was really phenomenal. And
I mean, acoustically, I've seen a bunch of shows there, and it has never ever been bad sound ever going to that place.
Totally,
and you know, it's the guys who run Shuba as well, as you know, and Shuba's is a great room too.
Totally.
And those guys care about the music. The guys who
and you
who
can tell, and even just the people that are there that work there. I mean, they're there because they love music and they want to be there. And they're so good to bands, and you can just tell as you kind of go through the pecking order of clubs. You know, it's like certain clubs, everybody's a little angry. No one really wants to be there.
Yeah,
you go to a place like Lincoln Hall, and it's a joy to play. It was really fun.
That's cool, man. That's really cool. Yeah. So you had a nice turnout. A lot of people picked up the record while they were there.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool, and we, you know, it was great because it was so funny. We had download cards, we had some discs. We felt like you should, you know, and we're digitally distributed. But it was really great that people were kind of selecting what they wanted.
Yeah,
you know, I was like, yeah, I'll take one of those, or just give me the card.
That's great. So. Yeah, that's great.
I just wanted to say we sold some T-shirts that were non-Buffalo, so it was interesting to see how many we could sell with or without. We're still getting the data back from that.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you brought my third Trick Shooter Social Club T-shirt, and I wear them proudly. I got to tell you that. So that's very cool.
Appreciate that.
Are you guys gigging soon? Anytime soon?
Yeah, we got a couple things lined up in March and April.
March 30th, we have something at Martyrs.
Another great room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have something in April, but it is, we've been sworn to secrecy.
Can't talk about it, but it's
going to be a pretty big show.
All right. Well, just, you can check it all out at trickshootersocialclub.com.
Yes.
And all that information will be out there. All right. Let's hear a song, shall we? We're going to hear a song called Duck and Run.
Cool.
Okay, what do we know? What can you say about this before we play it?
You know, this is just another, we were full on listening to a lot of Black Keys and White Stripes, and I think we were just looking for a really sort of hot, sweaty, juke joint groove, and just keep it really raw
And all I'd add is we did vocals on the chorus at like 3:30 in the morning. Still scarred from that.
See if it sounds like that. All right. Well, let's do this. This is called Duck and Run. It's from the new CD, American Experiment. It's Trick Shooter Social Club.
Take off your boots and run. I'm sitting, say yes, soldier. We looking for freedom.
There it is. That's Trick Shooter Social Club, guys. That's a jam.
Thanks, man.
Very, very cool. Very, very, very cool. Boy, you guys really did want to do some juke joint jam in there, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Very, very good. Is this available? Is this album available? Is it available digitally? People can get it at the places where you can download music?
Totally. You know, Amazon, Spotify, iTunes, it's kind of distributed on pretty much any place you download or stream.
Mm-hmm. Who else worked on this with you in production?
You know, it was interesting. We did everything over at CRC, and John Zacks was our engineer, and he's great. It just really, like, great touch, really got to know us because we recorded with him now a couple different projects.
Yeah.
So he was a real awesome, positive force. And you know,
Grammy award-winning.
I know, we found this out.
He won a Grammy?
I think it was for a classical ensemble he recorded. He, of course, never mentions it. We found out. We're like, dude, you won a Grammy? So now, of course, we tell everybody we recorded with a Grammy winning.
Yeah, so of course. You have to be able to say that our engineer won a Grammy. Thank you very much.
Yeah. But, I mean, beyond the gold, he turned out to be a real partner. Like, there was a real sense of collaboration with him.
That's good.
And it felt fairly organic to what we were doing, like, and he got to know us pretty well, and he was able to, like, you know, give us ideas,
break ties.
Yeah.
Was this was your first time working with him?
We had worked, like, it's been over the course of maybe 10 or 12 months.
Right.
You know, even doing some initial sort of pre-production with him. So, you know, by the time we got finished with the album, we felt we were pretty comfortable in the saddle.
So the chemistry was there pretty much immediately then.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's
yeah.
great. That makes a big difference. Trick Shooter Social Club, the album is called American Experiment. Check out TrickShooterSocialClub.com for more information. We have a link on our Facebook page. We're going to talk, when we come back, we're going to talk about the write-up that you guys got in Indie Rock Cafe.
Oh.
I want to talk a little bit about that and more. So hang out, guys. Steve Simoncic and Larry Liss, Trick Shooter Social Club. More with them, and we'll hear another full-length song from the new album right after we break here on 720 WGN. Well, this is an interesting opening.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. This is Ruth, our accordion player, and Beltran, a fiddle player, and they would play this in rehearsal, and we're like, that's really cool. So we open the show sometimes with it, and it's just this cool little gypsy march. It just brings a different color, and it goes right into a guitar riff.
That's cool, man. That's a pretty cool intro. We're talking with Steve and Larry from Trick Shooter Social Club. That's what you just heard coming back. It's Nick DiGilio live in the Allstate Skyline studio on a Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. The new album is called American Experiment. Welcome back. Coming up, we've got Steve Grzanich at 5 with the opening bell, and also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. You guys enjoy touring around? Do you like playing other cities?
We do. You know, we had a blast doing some shows in New York last year. We were just talking about perhaps Denver. We got an eye on Nashville as well. It's really fun. It's good for the band, too. I don't know. It's just a good adventure to kind of get out of your bubble a little bit.
Yeah, totally. And you know, we found, especially like New York, it's a music town. Like, you know, we were going to clubs that, you know, we didn't know anybody. And we, you know, we brought a couple folks, but they were full almost every
night. That's nice. Did you play in Manhattan?
We did. We played Lower East Side, and then we did one night, and then the next night we played in Brooklyn. And the Brooklyn venue was awesome.
Which one did you play?
It was the Way Station.
Way Station.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah.
Where'd you play on the Lower East Side? Because I
Pianos.
I know that place. I've never been there.
Yeah,
but I know that place.
Right on Ludlow Street. Yeah, yeah. It was great. And they both felt like, you know, four or five band nights, but good like built-in crowds. It was a really good experience.
That's cool. Yeah, New York is awesome, man. I've been there many, many times. And then in 1999, I spent 3 weeks there with a play that I co-wrote and directed.
Oh, cool.
We performed it at the Fringe Festival, so we were there for 3 weeks.
Oh, sure. Cool.
And so that's a long time to be in New York. You know what I mean? Because it'll take, you know, and this was, you know, since in 1999, I was a drinking man then, too, and I don't know if I was sober the entire 3 weeks. Because nothing closes. You're like, wow, I'm in New York. A play that I directed is, you know, we're getting crowds to come and see it. Let's go to the bar. Yeah.
That story reminds me of our drummer.
Okay.
because while we were there for about 72 hours, and we were like, hey, buddy, slow it down. We got two shows.
Well, there's an energy in New York, man. So, there really is. And it's like, it's in New Orleans as well. I mean, New Orleans, I can't imagine going to New Orleans now that I'm sober. It would be a very difficult experience. Yeah. So.
Well, the story ended with him forgetting his drums.
Oh, man. That's not good.
Yeah.
He needs those. Okay. What are we hearing? What are we hearing now?
I think we're hearing "Carry Me Home,"
which
is more of a ballad, and it's a bit of a storytelling song, and it kind of sits right in the middle of the album. Also features sort of a dual vocal with myself and Maggie Mitchell on vocals.
All right, cool. Well, let's hear it. This is Trick Shooter Social Club.
I have
Pretty man.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. So this is it. This album really is kind of all over the place, yeah. You know, in terms of inspiration and style and all that. That's really cool.
It does. Yeah, it covers a lot of ground. I mean, it really does. We just open the doors. We're like, we're just going to let all the influences kind of hang together on this one. See how it goes.
Before we get you out of here, Indie Rock Cafe. People can read the piece.
Yeah.
Was that fun? Getting.
It was great. They were awesome. They it was a review, and then they did a little Q&A with us. So and really thoughtful, and they really paid attention to the stuff, which is all we can ask for. So it was really cool.
All the other information that you need is TrickShooterSocialClub.com. American Experiment is available all over where you can you download your music. Steve, Larry, always a blast when you guys are down here, man.
It's our pleasure, man. Amazing. You've been so good to us and the band. We can't thank you enough.
No, it's my pleasure. You guys are great, man. Anytime.
Thank you.
Okay,
and thank you for wearing the shirt.
Absolutely. Award in your honor, obviously. Okay, we'll take a break. The news is coming up right after this.